Good evening. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ahead on this evening edition of Ozarks at Large, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talks with former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, plus area CEOs helping area CEOs, and our tech ambassador Tyrell Dennison is back to tell us what's been introduced in the past few weeks that you may find under the tree later this year, or at least that the tech companies want you to find under the tree. That's all ahead on this Tuesday evening edition of Ozarks at Large. But right now we're going to send you possibly to the web.
Yes. We are in the middle of our fall on-air fundraiser. Our lovely phone volunteers have gone home for the evening, but you can still make your contribution now at supportkuaf.com. The website is always open. You can make your pledge there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but why not right now?
That's right. And it's very simple to do online. And the great thing about doing it online is you can do it as quickly or as slowly as you want.
But if you'd like to do it quickly, it is very easy. You just enter in your name. And I believe if you're already in our system, it will find you. And all you have to do is, you know, just confirm your address, pick which amount you would like to pay. And the amount is totally up to you, as well as how you would like to pay for it. You can pay right then with a credit card. You can even choose for us to send you a bill in the mail, or pay with a bank draft or University of Arkansas payroll deduction.
Any of those options are open to you. And of course, the amount of the contribution is left up to you. When you contribute and you join thousands of other people who've contributed, it all goes to the big pile of contributions that helps pay and keep programs on the air, like Fresh Air, like Performance Today, like Morning Edition. All of those programs will cost us money. I know Morning Edition, off the top of my head, that's going to be nearly, or not going to be, we've already written this check, that was nearly $95,000 this year to bring you Morning Edition, a program we know you enjoy hearing. Fresh Air, not as expensive, but it comes with a price tag. Every show you hear on the air, we have to pay for, and we can do it with your help.
And you can help us now and help make sure that these shows that you've come to rely on continue to be on the air by going to support KUAF and making your contribution there. And to everyone who's already given, thank you.
Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
An Arkansas-based vegetable processor and food service provider is facing bankruptcy. Yesterday, Allen's Incorporated filed paperwork hoping to reorganize its debt under federal bankruptcy laws. Officials with the family-owned business, founded 87 years ago, also said they plan to sell part of the company. Arkansas business reporter Lance Turner has details.
In a news release, Allen said it's seeking a buyer for its frozen vegetable business, which is based in Montezuma, Georgia, and that it's also exploring strategic alternatives, which could include a potential sale of all or parts of its operating business. But it also talks about wanting to, you know, emerge from the reorganization process as a financially sound standalone company. This is a Chapter 11 bankruptcy filing, so the goal of this is to get its financial affairs in order, pay off creditors as best as it possibly can, probably, you know, pare down some of its operations, become a leaner, more focused company, and emerge as a successful and going concern.
Turner reports the Siloam Springs company has been closing or selling plants since 2011 to concentrate on what it considers its core business. Last year, Allen sold 6 of its frozen vegetable brands and moved 150 jobs from its Van Buren operation to the Siloam Springs canning operation.
A bill being considered in the U.S. Senate aims to reform the nation's laws regarding toxic chemicals, but the vice president of Easter Seals of Arkansas says it doesn't go far enough. Linda Rogers is taking part in what's being called a stroller brigade with parents from around the country on Capitol Hill today, lobbying lawmakers to toughen and pass the act.
Right now, there's not adequate reform for the chemical act. We need more to protect the environment and also the health issues associated with using chemicals. And they can be chemicals in everyday products,
which Roger says range from household products to children's products and are linked to cancer and birth defects.
It's really for pregnant women and children. That's a population, of course, that we work with at Easterseal. And I'm very concerned about the high-risk infants in particular.
Rogers is scheduled to meet with Arkansas Senators Mark Pryor and John Bozeman today.
Speaking of Senator Pryor, new polling data out shows U.S. Representative Tom Cotton has a slight edge over the senator. Yesterday, Little Rock-based Impact Management Group released poll results to thecitywire.com. According to the polling, which included 911 registered Arkansas voters on October 24th, 41.7% of respondents favored Congressman Cotton in the 2014 Senate election, and 40.6% of respondents favored Senator Pryor, and 17.6% of respondents were undecided. While the poll has a margin of error of 3.2%, meaning the two candidates are virtually even in the polls, even more telling numbers are seen through the responses of self-identified independent voters, of whom only 27.8% favored Senator Pryor, 47.2% favored Congressman Cotton, and 25% were undecided.
Cloudy tonight, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows around 60. Tomorrow, 80% chance of afternoon showers or thunderstorms, highs around 74. And for tomorrow night, 90% chance of more rain, lows in the lower 60s. This is Ozarks at Large. Last week, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, a one-time presidential candidate, was in Little Rock to speak to the Central Arkansas Political Animals Club. It's a group of politicos. The former governor, now a national radio and TV talk show host, shared his opinion on the state of politics and the potential second run for president with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas.
You said recently that you thought that the Republicans at the national level basically made a stupid tactical blunder in this whole debt ceiling, federal government shutdown debate. Do you think that we're going to relive all of this once again in January and February when these debates come back to the forefront again?
You know, I hope not. I hope maybe somebody learned something from it all. One of the tragedies of that for the Republicans was that the center of the stage, October 1st, should have and would have been exclusively about Obamacare. That's what it should have been about how rocky the launch was and how flawed the assumptions were about the financials to make it work. I think it would have been a tough, tough year for the Democrats in 2014 trying to defend Obamacare with more people losing insurance than getting it. And that could have been the referendum that the Republicans could have ridden all the way through the 14 elections. They took the noose from around the Democrats' necks and they turned it into a rescue rope and pulled them out of the hole and said, oh, let's not talk about Obamacare. Let's make shutdown the focus. And in that situation, they should have known that it doesn't matter whether it was their fault. It really wasn't technically their fault. It was as much Obama who refused to negotiate anything and was very obstinate about that. But the point is, the press is going to give the Republicans most of the blame for it, which they did, as did the public. And 74% of Americans, you know, after that whole process, thought the Republicans were responsible and had an unfavorable view of them. That you don't do things like that if you're trying to win elections.
So do we relive that debate again in January and February when the debt ceiling and the budget come to the forefront again?
You know, we could. And I think one thing that's got to happen is Republicans need to be more circumspect. And, you know, this is not a time to go just throw grenades at the president. This is a time to, in essence, force his leadership. You don't do that by raising the rhetoric. You do it by basically being quiet and saying, Mr. President, we want to have a financial responsibility. Present something to us. You know, make him defend his position, make him defend his no negotiation posture. What they did, that they created the argument about themselves. It was, I think, a tactical blunder. If you have the ball, the worst thing you want to do is hand it to your opponent, put him in a position to score. You want to be on offense and make them play defense, and that's exactly not what we did. I hope they learn from it. It's the president's responsibility, just as it would be a governor's responsibility, to set the table, put the menu out, and then you're not going to get it all like you want, but you've got to start the discussion. And this president has been one that doesn't want to start it. He just wants to stop it by saying, I'll give nothing. You can't do that.
I also asked Governor Huckabee about the splits we're seeing in the Republican Party at the national level, and here's what he had to say.
I think right now it's pretty big, and this tragedy is that you have a lot of competing interests, all who say they want the same thing, which is a Republican majority, but you don't get a Republican majority by making it easier for the Democrats to win. I mean, to me, this is not real complicated. If you want to beat Democrats, you spend money to defeat them, not to try to defeat Republicans who may not be perfect, but they're going to be closer to your point of view than any of the Democrats you're going to be spending money on. And that just is, I think a lot of it is the naivete of people who may not understand that politics is a process, it's not an event. You know, I wish it was an event. It'd be real easy then. You just make it all happen on one day and bang, you're done. But people who succeed in politics look at it as a long-term process, not as a short-term event. And the impatience and the petulance of people who just want to go out and, quote, take a stand, throw the grenade, thinking that that's all there is to it. I've got a bass boat. I can turn that bass boat in the Arkansas River in just a few feet of water. I can, throttle that thing down, crank the wheel, and it'll dig in and it'll turn almost on a dime. You take one of these big barges out in the Arkansas River that's got, it's being pushed by maybe a big tow boat, and it's got four or five long barges. You want to turn that around? You got to be planning miles and miles ahead, and you got to find a wide spot in the river if you're going to turn that thing around. And I think sometimes we look at politics and think it's a bass boat. It's a whole bunch of barges strung together, and that's the only way you turn it around.
Too much purity, not enough compromise?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, purity is a great thing for the campaign. You can be absolutely pure when you campaign. By the way, you can be absolutely pure when you do a talk show. You know, when I do radio or television, I'm a purist. I don't have to be pragmatic. I can take a stand. I never have to be responsible for the consequences. I can be extremely ideological. I can be smug about it. That's easy. When you're in office, then you have to understand that unless you own all the moving parts, you better be prepared to give and take. You better be prepared to also build relationships and understand that if you don't win everything today, that's okay. Just make sure that you live to fight another day. Make sure that you don't burn so many relationships and bridges that the person who is adamantly opposed to you on a bill today may be your partner in one next week.
The political landscape in Arkansas has changed dramatically since Mike Huckabee was the state's governor. At nearly every level, Republicans have seen some sort of dominance, a major switch from years past at the local to the state to the federal level. I asked Governor Huckabee why he thinks that wasn't the case when he was in office.
There are a lot of reasons. I mean, we saw a lot of the beginnings. When I first went into office, we had 11 Republicans in the House. We ended up with 30. We had 4 in the Senate. We had 8 by the time I left. Those were gains. But what was really happening, we started seeing the building grounds on, I think, the local level. That's where it really happens. Quorum courts, city councils, people running for sheriff. The groundswell, I think, happened when the National Democratic Party made such a sharp left turn and left so many Arkansas Democrats behind. You know, the traditional Arkansas Democrat is not a hardcore liberal. One of the reasons I was able to work with a lot of people in the legislature, they were Democrats, but they weren't Nancy Pelosi, they weren't Harry Reid, they weren't Chuck Schumer, they weren't Dick Durbin. They were more like the old Sam Nunn kind of Democrat. And that's a very different kind of Democrat than Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And I think, Barack Obama singularly did more to recruit members for the Republican Party in Arkansas than any Republican ever could. And let me be very adamant about this. It had nothing to do with his race. That's nonsense.
You don't think that 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 even had anything to do with it at all.
Maybe for the most minute numbers of people, but you know, the truth is I celebrated the fact that an African American was elected president. I thought that was a great moment for America, not a great moment for Republicans. And I said so publicly immediate after the election. So, you know, I'm on record as saying this is a great step forward for the country in terms of race relations. But then I've looked over the past 4 years and so many people have said, oh, it's all about race, it's all about race. Well, you know what? If it is, then that's really an insult to Barack Obama. That's an insult to say that he really wasn't elected president because he campaigned with an effective dream. He was just elected because of his race. That's his racism, as much racism as it is to say that people are opposed to him because of racism. They're opposed to him because he spends money we don't have, he borrows money we can't afford to pay back, he's been utterly disingenuous about so many of the aspects of his administration, saying he's going to be transparent, open, accountable, and we've seen none of the above. We don't have answers on Fast and Furious, on Benghazi, why the IRS, he's always going to get to the bottom of something, we never get to the top. The debacle with Obamacare, that's why people are opposed to him. It's not his color.
2016, you floated the possibility that you have been talked to, you are considering a potential run for president once again. Give me the definitive statement. Where are you today in that decision process?
Well, there's not a definitive statement. The definitive statement is, you know, that I haven't ruled anything out, but I've not made a decision. You know, I'm talking to people around the country. I'm kind of weighing what the options are. May not be a good time for me, you know, and I recognize that my time may have passed, or maybe the environment is such that for what I consider to be a hardcore conservative, but who's pragmatic, maybe there's no room for me. I understand that, but maybe there is. Maybe there will be a hunger for somebody who believes that the ultimate art of governing is about maintaining your own philosophical consistency, but recognizing that to get there, you still have to govern within the context of the numbers that exist, and you have to work with people who don't agree with you, and that's part of the art of it. Frankly, it's the most difficult part. It's also the most rewarding and fulfilling part. It's when you can see something accomplished that you realize, it's not exactly the way I wanted it, but it got done. And something improved, something changed, whether it's an education initiative, a highway initiative, and I'm thinking of those at the state level, but even at the national level, if there's something that you can visualize getting accomplished and look back on it and know that, you know, you were able to persuade not just the American people, but people on the other side of the political fence to join with you in that effort. I think that's what the founders intended. They never expected that anyone would get everything they wanted. In fact, they designed the system, intentionally designed the system, so nobody could become that powerful and get everything they wanted.
Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, now the host of his own national television and radio talk show, was in Arkansas last week, and that's when he talked with Roby Brock from our content partner, Talk Business Arkansas. Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And Verizon, offering a wide selection of productivity-enhancing tablets for small business, including the Apple iPad. More information at a Verizon communication store near you or online at vzw.com/smallbusiness. And CEG Partners, using empirical data to better understand your customers' experiences and their loyalties. More information at cegpartners.com. Just ahead on this evening edition of Ozarks at Large for October 29th, 2013, Antoinette Grajeda will talk with Becca Martin-Brown from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers about some of the music you can see away from home. Christina, you have a story about CEOs talking with other CEOs in an effort to help each other. And I have some notes of other things going on. That's all coming up in just a few moments.
But first, just this reminder that it is our on-air fundraiser, and you can go to our website, supportkuaf.com, to show your support for KUAF with a financial contribution of your choosing.
That's right. During the day, for about 13 hours a day, we have volunteers here answering your phone calls, but 24 hours a day, you are able to go to our website, supportkuaf.com.
It's very simple. You determine the amount. Anything you could do on the phone, almost anything you can do on the phone, you can do at the website. And it's a simple process. You determine the amount. You have all the different options for the method, becoming a sustaining member. That's all there as well at supportkuaf.com. If you have a smartphone, you can also go to the KUAF app, and there's a Contribute Now button there.
The only thing you can't do online is maybe ask a question.
Right.
But you can call in tomorrow morning at 6 and ask any questions you may have.
Yeah. So if for some reason you get to supportkuaf.com and there's something that doesn't make sense, then call us tomorrow morning at 6:01.
But for right now, you can go to supportkuaf.com and make your contribution there. And thank you.
And no matter how you make it, no matter how much.
Thank you. It is Tuesday, October 29th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now inside Studio 123 is Becca Martin-Brown, Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hey!
Hello!
I'd ask you if you want to go on a road trip, but we know about you.
The answer would be yes.
The answer would be yes. So let's look at some people who are playing music in some other towns.
Oh, good, because I've been needing a new adventure.
Thought you did. Josh Groban is performing November 13th at the American Airlines Center in Dallas.
Okay.
Also in Dallas, Selena Gomez on November 3rd at the American Airlines Center. Music of the Kennedy White House.
I don't know what that means.
At the Dallas City Performance Hall. I don't know either, but it sounds interesting.
Hmm.
November 3rd.
Okay.
November 9th, the John Williams Tribute at the Irving Arts Center. In Little Rock, November 8th, the Avett Brothers at Verizon Arena.
And they were a lot of fun when they came to the AMP last year. I think it was last year.
I think it was, too. November 17th, Pink is at the Verizon Arena.
Mm.
In Kansas City, November 3rd, Straight No Chaser at the Midland by AMC. November 10th, the Isley Brothers at the Midland by AMC. And November 12th, Pink at the Sprint Center. You could have a tour.
Yeah.
So go have fun.
Excellent. Give me lots of options there. I'll have to decide. Thank you. Becca Martin-Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Kyle?
Thank you, Antoinette. And I know as much as you and Becca don't like to hear this, October is almost over. So here are some things to keep in mind as November arrives this weekend. Rogers Little Theater's upcoming production of Don't Dress for Dinner by Mark Camaletti and adapted by Robin Harden opens Friday night at the Victory Theater in downtown Rogers and will continue through this weekend. Then performances continue next weekend. Thursday through Saturday, doors will open for dinner theater seating at 6:30. Dinner served until 7:30. Balcony seating begins at 7:30. And the performance, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights, begins at 8. For the matinees, doors will open for dinner theater seating at 12:30. Dinner served until 1:30. Balcony seating begins at 1:30 Sunday afternoon. And the performance will begin at 2. Six times a year, the Sugar Creek Astronomical Society presents free educational programs and night viewings at Hobbs State Park in Benton County. This is one of those weekends. The group will bring their high-powered telescopes to make it easy for the public to view the nighttime sky. Members of the Sugar Creek Astronomical Society say several celestial bodies will, with the help of a clear sky, be able to be seen this weekend. Venus, Neptune, and the three stars in the summer triangle, just some of the objects that we'll be able to see. There will be a beginner's astronomy class beginning at 5:30 Saturday evening, with observation using binoculars, telescopes, and the naked eye beginning shortly after sunset around 6:30 Saturday night. Here's what you need to bring if you have them: a flashlight covered with a red cloth or red balloon, binoculars and or a telescope if you have one, folding chair, and a star chart if you have one. Again, that begins Saturday night at 5:30 at Hobbs State Park. And the Fayetteville Public Library will host the 10th annual Gathering of the Groups with featured speaker Pete Early on Friday, November 8th at 11:30 a.m. at the library. Gathering of the Groups, an annual celebration for area book clubs. All Northwest Arkansas book clubs invited to hear author Pete Early discuss his book, Crazy, A Father's Search Through America's Mental Health Madness. After his son broke into a neighbor's home during a manic episode, both Early and his son were thrown into a maelstrom of incarcerations, abbreviated hospital stays, misdiagnoses, and insurance refusals that can be representative of America's mental health system. The book is divided into two parts. The first, about Early's son's mental illness. The second describes what Early observed during a year-long investigation inside the Miami-Dade County Jail. Crazy, A Father's Search Through America's Mental Health Madness, is being read throughout Northwest Arkansas this fall as part of the One Book, One Community project. If you'd like more information on all the events connected to the program, you can go online to onebook.uark.edu. Gathering of the Groups is open to members of Northwest Arkansas Book Clubs, but registration is required. You can register online at faylib.org. That's faylib.org.
After struggling with ethical and organizational issues with being the CEO of American National Bank in Phoenix, Arizona, Tim McFarland says he was lucky enough to be involved with the first ever CEO forum in Phoenix, Arizona, started by Jim Meyer in 1989.
I was fortunate enough to get invited into that original group of 10. I think Jim's probably mentored 200 CEOs over his career in and out of the CEO forums that he built. So I had got to, while I was running a small commercial bank, I got to benefit from the value of the CEO forum.
Tim says that as a business leader, you often don't have anywhere to turn. You're at the top of the organization, and you are the leader. Originally from Arkansas, Tim maintained his ties here and through business relationships knew the area could benefit, as he did, from a CEO forum. John Lewis of the Bank of Fayetteville also saw the potential and helped Tim to form the CEO Forum 1 in Northwest Arkansas in 2006. Though Lewis passed away in 2007, his legacy lives on through the forums and presentations he made, with messages such as "Don't take yourself too seriously" and "Mistakes are opportunities." The CEO Forum is optimal for leaders of organizations who desire continuous growth and, among other things, want to learn from peers and guest speakers about how others solve challenges or optimize opportunities.
We believe that anybody that's in a leadership position ought to find a peer group of people who are peers to them and have a non-competitors, you know, 6 to 10 people. They could gather them however they want to do that and get together every so often to process issues. We believe everybody ought to be in a group, technically.
The CEO Forum consists of monthly gatherings of up to 12 non-conflicting peers and builds upon a safe setting where trust and confidentiality are paramount. CEO Forums in Northwest Arkansas consists of 3 groups. Each group meets monthly for 3 hours and has one presenter.
And we each process our own individual issue or opportunity. One company or one person each month formally presents their issue, and then we cover a topic maybe sometimes, and we spend that 3 hours going around the room trying to allow everyone to process whatever they might want to put out to the group that they might want to get some feedback, maybe get some collective wisdom of the group. Sometimes as you're running your business, you'll be going around a corner and you don't have perfect visibility, so you can put something out to see if you can learn something from the group, because everybody has different experiences and the group can always help.
The 12 people vary greatly. Today, we meet a lawyer, a sales manager, an engineer at a multi-million-dollar manufacturing company, along with the founder of a nonprofit. Each brings something different to the table, but all say they take away diversity in the values presented. Todd Wood is a lawyer and owner of a parking lot maintenance company and a CEO Forum member.
There's such a vast array of experiences. Everybody has just such rich career experiences. But the most amazing thing to me is the emotional quotient that each of them have, the equilibrium with which they approach problem solving and analytics. And when you take the experiences, when you take the the candle power that they bring and the emotional equilibrium that they bring, there is just some really wise counsel that comes from each meeting. It's just amazing to see it come about.
It is said that the tears flow from the CEOs at their meetings. Sarah Fennell is the founder and CEO of Restore Humanity, a 501c3 that opened and maintains an orphanage in Kenya. Much different from the lawyer we just heard from.
No matter what you're dealing with, we can all relate. So if you can kind of just sit down, everyone treats each other as equals. We sign a confidentiality agreement. So you're sitting in a room full of successful, engaged people, and you can be vulnerable. You can tell them what your issues are. You can hear other people's, and it's a safe, objective environment that it's just helped me in enormous ways. I mean, just through planning and different ideas, and everyone's coming from a different place, but going towards success and going towards being self-starters and things like that. So it's just been an enormous help and great support, great people. I've learned way more than I was expecting.
Sarah has been a member for 1 year after getting her start in an emerging leaders group within the Forum, a sponsored group for those in the community that have recognized potential. Gabriel Machado is the sales manager and engineer for Rockline Industries, a multi-billion dollar manufacturer of wet wipes, among other items, with factories worldwide, including Springdale and Boonville. Unlike Todd and Sarah, Gabriel has bosses, but they see the value of investing in their employees.
For me, the greatest value out of this experience is just having this perspective from people that are so generous with their advice. It goes beyond just, to say, your tactical issue that you're trying to tackle, and they are committed in helping you, both at a professional but also at a personal level. So it's just, for me, it's just being able to learn from their experiences and how they handle their own challenges, and being able to gain perspective and apply those learnings to what I'm facing at work. It is really helpful to get perspective out of the day-to-day norm, and that's what I think CEO Forum allows us to do.
For his presentation, Gabriel brought his group to check out how wet wipes are made. Fun fact, in 1 year, Rockline Industries produces enough wet wipes that would wrap around the Earth at the equator 170 times. Since CEO Forums began in Northwest Arkansas in 2006, the group has expanded from just one to include three, plus the emerging leaders groups. Each group meets monthly for member presentations as well as group discussions like October's topic, the 6 pillars essential for leading your enterprise. Tim McFarland is the founder and CEO of the CEO Forums in Fayetteville.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Gabriel represents a company that generates over $500 million in annual revenues, and he is in CEO Forum 3 with Sarah, who has a nonprofit with some volunteers, and they help each other out amazingly. You might think that those are real wide, despairing kind of organizations, but it's amazing how each of them can help each other out.
He sees the need and foresees the groups expanding to other areas of Arkansas, including Bentonville and Little Rock. For more information, visit ceoforums.us. This is Ozarks at Large.
This is the evening edition of Ozarks at Large. Still ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large, our tech ambassador Tyrell Dennison is back to talk about the new tech products. And something that you didn't hear on the noon edition, one of the things he says that you've really got to look out for is this new virtual reality gaming helmet. which is out.
Ooh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit scary to me.
Yeah.
But I think if you're a gamer, it might be like it might be the latest ultimate gaming experience. Anyway, that's ahead on this evening edition of Ozarks at Large. Now, you don't have to have a virtual reality gaming helmet to make an online contribution to KUAF.
No, you just need a smartphone, perhaps a computer, internet connection. Not too fancy.
I suppose you could actually do it with a friend who has an internet connection, right?
You totally could.
That's right.
Just go to our website. It's supportkuaf.com, and it's really easy, straightforward. You just enter in your name, pick how much you would like to give. Again, an amount that we totally leave up to you. You can determine how much you listen to KUAF and what value you put on that time that you listen to KUAF and make that decision. Decide how you'd like to pay for it and pretty much just push enter. And there it goes.
We've had listeners support us for years. And I think one of the reasons is because we are able to bring people something different that they can't necessarily get everywhere else.
Right.
In the case of Ozarks at Large, we're able to bring you stories from local people. And, you know, they're your neighbors, they're your friends, they're that guy down the street that you see all the time but maybe have never spoken to.
Tomorrow we'll have a story from Jacqueline Froelich about women who rode horseback across the Buffalo River.
And I guarantee you that story was probably not in very many places locally.
Right.
You probably are only going to be able to really hear about that on Ozarks at Large.
And that's the key word, hear.
Right.
You're going to hear about it, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not just read. That's one thing that radio can do. It can give you the sounds
of the horses,
of the stories that we bring you from across our listening area. If you appreciate that kind of radio, you can support us online right now. It's a simple and easy and secure website. Just simply go to supportkuaf.com. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. I'm happy to welcome back to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio our tech ambassador, Tyrell Dennison. Ty, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kyle. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Good.
Last week, we had sort of the last big Apple announcement of the year. Getting ready, I guess, as we go in the holiday season, Apple made their announcement about what to expect with the iPad, right?
That's right. They wanted to get the last news out so that everybody knew what they wanted to spend on their Apple products coming into Black Friday and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, there's a lot of pretty big announcements, actually.
Well, let's talk about what's coming up for the end of the final quarter of 2013 in the tech world, starting with the Apple announcements of the last week and the last few weeks.
Yeah, you bet. So what were probably the most anticipated announcements were the iPad changes. And so they've got a new iPad mini with Retina display. The newest iPads have already had Retina display. And if you haven't seeing something on a Retina display, it's actually pretty amazing. It's very clear, very nice. The coloring is rich. It doesn't have quite the colors as some of the new Android phones with the what they call an AMOLED screen, but the resolution can't be beat. And iPhone 5s already have that. They have MacBook Pros with Retina displays now as well, and the full size iPad does. Now they've got an iPad mini with that high resolution. And so they've put that one at $399 pricing, and then they've dropped the price of a regular iPad mini to $299 to try and remain competitive amongst the lower priced tablets. And so those were exciting turns with iPad mini. Then with the main iPad, they've released now the iPad Air, which of course is very typical Apple. Let's rename something and kind of make it a little bigger deal than it is. But the iPad Air is pretty significant in that they've actually shaved the weight by a third.
So, because the iPad was so heavy to begin with?
Well, you know, it's funny. You say it like that, and that's true. But a lot of people do complain about the weight, especially if you're reading for an extended period of time. If you're reading in bed, you've had your iPad land on your chest and wake you up, or hopefully not your head. But to go from a pound and a half, right.
Yes. I'm still going to say that of all the problems you can have, but go ahead.
We have to manufacture problems.
Yes.
There you
yes.
go. So that we can fix that manufacture
yes.
problem and sell you a new product. But they took it from a pound and a half to a pound. it's now can be hidden by a pencil. that's not even an exaggeration. That's one of their new commercials that they promote.
So if you turn it sideways, if you lay it flat,
and you put a pencil in front of it, and you come at the straight angle, it's like, where's the iPad? I don't know. So the pricing will remain on that. They're going to continue to do the iPad 2s at $399. So there's a lot of posturing with Apple. Even though they've maintained tablet dominance in the market for so long, they're posturing to keep that. But another thing they did that I think was a huge posturing move is they've started giving away the house software-wise.
Ah.
So nowadays, starting last week, when you buy a Mac computer, you get iLife and iWorks, which are the suites that are basically the Mac equivalent of Office.
Okay.
And then the suite that comes with like iMovie, iPhoto, all of those for free. On any iOS device, you get them free. On any new Mac, you get them free.
Well, okay, so Apple has made all these big announcements, and they're trying to maintain their tablet dominance, but there are others, right?
Absolutely. The Samsung has come out big, and they're swinging. They've got all kinds of tablets, the Note and a variety of others that they're putting out and marketing heavily. And they've done a lot to connect stuff as well. They've got the Samsung Gear Watch, which has just been recently announced and on the market. You can get it. I saw it in an AT&T store just the other day, in fact. And so they're jumping into wearables, and they're wanting to produce that ecosystem too. So they want you to have a Galaxy smartphone, a Galaxy tablet, a Galaxy Watch, and to interact with everything that way as well.
I thought the whole idea about having a smartphone that gave me time, that replaced my watch. I thought a lot of young people and others like me had given up the watch because now we have the phone.
Well, we gave up the traditional watch. There's obviously people who are more fashion-focused who still would maintain the watch. There's definitely a place for that. But now they've reinvented what the watch is intended to do. And so I myself have one of the Pebble smartwatches.
Oh, you sure
and
do.
It allows you to send notifications of phone calls, text messages, or emails to your phone. I mean, to your watch. And so being a father of three, all under the age of five, I could receive a crazy panicked phone call from the school or their mother at any time. And so during a conversation, if I get a phone call, rather than having to reach in my pocket and say, excuse me, and interrupt our conversation to take a look, just like in the days of old, we would – those were air quotes. That's why that came out that way. You didn't think twice about just checking the time while you're in a conversation with someone. I can discreetly slip up my watch and look and see if it's I've received information that's worth pausing our conversation to step out from, or it's just nothing to pay attention to, and you're none the wiser, the conversation continues to flow more naturally.
How much do these smartwatches run for?
The Gear is a little more expensive. I think it starts at $200. And the Pebble I have was $150. You can get those. I saw that at the same AT&T store, actually. So,
well, it used to be that we had TVs, we had phones, we had watches. Now we have smartphones and smartwatches and smart TVs and smart glasses, for goodness sakes. Anything else on the horizon that's gonna make people either excited or feel a little insecure or maybe a little bit of both at the same time?
You know, it's funny you talk about people being nervous about technology. One of the biggest things to come out this year is going to be something that kind of gets people's dander up. Everybody's been talking about Google Glass, and so they're concerned about that and the privacy there. But once that settled down, the new Xbox console, Xbox One, has got a lot of people worried.
Xbox One is what it's called.
And it comes with the Kinect.
Okay.
And everybody loves the Kinect because who doesn't love flailing around like a fool in their living room for entertainment? And it's actually one of the things that makes me want to get one for my kids because they have a lot of fun.
The uninitiated Kinect allows you to mimic movements on screen that you do in real life.
Yes.
Or vice versa.
That's right. Yeah. So gameplay is actually based on your body. As you
right.
move and interact, the Kinect uses a motion sensor to capture you. And so with the new Xbox One, though, the new Xbox requires an internet connection to work for validation purposes all the time. So your Xbox One has to be plugged into the internet all the time. And when that guy is on all the time – and they want it to be your entertainment console of choice.
So it's they also want it to be how you watch television
mm-hmm.
and
all, yeah.
rent
and
movies and things like that.
They've got all kind of new features with Amazon, and all these people have put their products into the Xbox console. And so to interact with it like you want it to, they want you to. You have to leave it on all the time. So it's on, and it's connected to the internet, and you've got a giant camera sitting in your living room, literally watching you, literally waiting for you to tell it what to do next. and so that's a little cringeworthy. You've officially put the eye in the sky right into your – piped it right into your living room with the Xbox One. And so that's gotten a lot of negative reaction. And then additionally – Xbox came out and said, or Microsoft, excuse me, came out and said with this new technology that they're putting piracy prevention methods into the Xbox so that you can't loan your game out to other people.
I see.
You're the only person who can play that game. So all this pushback instantly. So everyone, Xbox One's the most excited to, like, most anticipated console game, console release in a long time, and then this comes out. And everybody's just furious. And so then Xbox is like, oh, just kidding. You can loan your games to your friends. We're not going to do that, really. But they played their hand. And so now we know what Microsoft wants to do. And so no one's – like the trust and the relationship that was built for years with Microsoft and gamers through the Xbox has just been blown out. So any hardcore gamer friend of mine – is like, I don't know if I'm going to get the new Xbox. I think I'm going to get the PS4.
Ah.
So PlayStation was licking their chops. I mean, they had a security breach a couple years ago where their database got hacked, and so you had to cancel your credit cards and do all kinds of stuff. And they lost a lot of people there, but that wasn't something they were trying to do. And whereas Microsoft revealed, this is what we want to do. We'll see how that goes. Microsoft's doing what they can to get into the market share and take over dominance like Apple, you know, with adding the entertainment that they have through the Xbox and then the Surface tablets that they're trying to get out and promoted and marketed to everyone to replace iPads with. They're doing what they can. Everyone's fighting for the living room still, and it's a free-for-all.
So is there anything else we should be aware of as we move toward the end of the calendar year?
Yeah, just kind of connecting back to gaming, if you're looking into – well, if you're a PC gamer, you're probably already aware of this. But if you know someone who's a PC gamer and you want to get them something, the Oculus Rift. I may have mentioned this in our CES wrap-up. It's a virtual reality helmet mm-hmm. like we used to have back in the 90s mm-hmm. that you'd go to the mall and play. Except it's redone in a very elegant way, and you don't get dizzy as easily, and it's pretty amazing. The technology is just super, and people are doing all kinds of crazy stuff with these things now. I've seen video of a guy who recreated Paperboy, and he took a bike and had it set up to ride on its own, and then he took the camera from a Microsoft from an Xbox Kinect and connected it to his computer. Put on Oculus Rift, and he would ride the bike and throw the papers and play Paperboy in real life.
Okay, and Paperboy is a somewhat now what we would call a primitive video game.
Yeah, oh yeah. I forget that there are probably some listeners who may never have played Paperboy. Paperboy was a game on the original Nintendo Entertainment System, the first NES. You would deliver newspapers and ride your bike down the road and throw these newspapers.
And so now with this Oculus Rift, am I saying
mm-hmm.
that correctly?
Mm-hmm.
It's a helmet, and so now you're in virtual reality throwing a paper.
Right. And not the blocky, polygonal, weird
right.
VR that we had back then. This is much more I mean, it's not hyper-realistic by any means, but it's a lot better and it's a lot of fun. So look into the Oculus Rift. That's going to be kind of the...
And it's a helmet.
The dark horse. Yeah, it's a helmet, and I think it comes with haptic gloves. So it's a helmet-haptic glove combo.
And how much?
No, you have to buy haptic gloves separately. And I don't know the price of the Rift, what it's going for now, but it's kind of the crazy thing that everybody either knows about and is super excited about or doesn't know about. But when it blows up, it'll be a lot of fun. So.
Okay. And what about any apps? Do you have any apps that you've picked up in the last few months that you'd like to tell us about?
Yeah, actually, I'm a bit of an outdoorsman. I love doing trail running and mountain biking and things like that. And there's a new suite of apps. I call them suite. I don't know how many there are. But Strava, S-T-R-A-V-A, is an app maker that has a running app and a biking app. And those are common these days. Obviously, there's
Map My Ride,
Map My Run. There's a ton of them. I can't remember them all. But one thing that's fun about Strava is that it's a competition. So everything, it takes your time and it compares them to everyone that's run that recently. And there's leaderboards that are constantly updating. And it's pretty fun to take a ride that you've done before and maybe not compared yourself to how other people are doing. With this, you can instantly look and see how you did. And it inspires you to do more. Obviously, you set PRs, personal records throughout it, but then you get to see how other people are doing and compete against people you don't know in a way that's a lot of fun.
So if I were to, say, go on part of the Razorback Greenway, trail, and I say I'm going from the crossing at Dixon Street in Fayetteville to the Botanical Gardens near Springdale, that route, it would tell me who else was running that route and how fast they did it?
Absolutely. That's the way it goes. And it breaks it down into different sections for everybody. So, it breaks it down into different sections based on kind of most commonly ridden parts. And so if you ride a big section of something, it'll break it down to the most commonly ridden portions and tell you how you've done in those and then give you the overall how you did as well.
How much does this app cost?
It is free.
So, good, because I didn't want to pay to find out I was the slowest person running this route. It doesn't bother me if I didn't pay to find that out.
Nope, completely free on iPhone, on Android, and it works on your Garmin device as well if you've got a Garmin running watch.
Ty, thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
Tyrell Dennison is the tech ambassador for Ozarks at Large and keeps us up to date on all things technical and digital. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville.
Bush.
We had someone call in from Bush earlier today, did we not?
We did. That's why I brought it up, yeah.
Well, thank you. Almost time to end the program, but still time to remind you that our phone volunteers are gone. They'll be back at 6 tomorrow morning for the next day of on-air fundraising, but you can still make your pledge right now or an hour from now or 5 hours from now by going to supportkuaf.com.
But right now, why not do it right now? I mean, we're all very busy, and before you forget, and it's something that you've been meaning to do.
Yes.
Then you should do it now at supportkuaf.com.
And you determine the amount it's been a long day, has it not? We all get in together with our contributions and pay for programs like Performance Today, like Morning Edition, and like All Things Considered, programs that do cost stations like KUAF money. We have written the checks this year. We did that on October 1st or September 30th because that's when the fiscal year is in public radio. We've written the checks based on knowing that you'll help us out, because you appreciate the programs.
Right. People have supported us for years, and we believe they will continue to support us for years. And it is our hope that, you know, people who haven't contributed before will start contributing as well, because we know we're reaching tens of thousands of people on a daily basis. And so we know there are people out there listening and who appreciate what we do here at KUAF, and we hope that they appreciate it enough to give back.
Right. And if you can help out, we would appreciate it. Again, the website is supportkuaf.com.
It is the evening of the 29th, and really we just have about 48 more hours until the end of
this
fall.
Yeah.
And 47 hours until the end of the fall on-air fundraiser. So please, if you have yet to make your contribution, don't wait. Go ahead and do it now. Supportkuaf.com.
Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks for listening.